At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Hour three at the races and about 50 minutes to noon. And before I get to Dave Grenig, who's waiting in the wings, I want to remind everybody the first of the four free contests for NHC available tomorrow. I'll send out plenty of tweeting and linking and so forth. Join the tour. You got to spend that $50 and join the tour. And five seats tomorrow, free, and there'll be four of these all year. So let's get on board, take every shot you can, and get to Vegas for next year. And Dave Grenig standing by the lightning round, and we've got lots to do over the next 45-plus minutes. Dave, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, Steve, you know what season it is?
What?
It's pothole repair season on the Belt Parkway, making the trip from Belmont to Aqueduct an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, there'll be a few cars that'll disappear. There'll be some broken axles, and not so pleasant. You're right. You're right. Plus we had the deep freeze, and then you have the fast warming up, and so you end up with all kinds of heaves, and pavement takes the beating. No doubt.
Oh, yes, and so do axles, like you said.
Had to check in with you. It's a nice day tomorrow at Aqueduct and the Gotham. You got horses that quite a few of them are probably not two-turn types, but it certainly makes for a nice group.
Yeah, look, it's a nice. It's like two groups here. Like you have four horses that probably want to be in the race and have, goals like the Woody Stevens and the Alan Jerkins and the like. And you have four horses that probably don't want to be in the race. They would have preferred to run an allowance race and perhaps use that path to get ready for the those same races. I think, Baffert adds a nice component to the race with the speed of Freedom Fighter, and there doesn't look to be a ton of other speed in the race, like at least his type of speed. And then you have highly motivated for Chad Brown, who was last seen on, I guess it was Breeders' Cup Friday, was winning a nice race in the Nyquist Stakes and showed promise. And, the horses, there's some horses in that race that came out of that race to win again, won a Sugar Bowl Stakes, I think it was at Fairgrounds. Roderick, who I believe is in tomorrow, won an allowance race out of that highly motivated, the Nyquist. So I think those two are sharp. I think Capo Kane, I don't know how good he really is, but he'll get a chance to prove him that, he's better than what he showed in the Withers tomorrow. And then Wipe the Slate, who, it was second to Life is Good, and then won, and then was trounced in the two-turn Robert Lewis, and now cuts back to one turn with an equipment change, and, is worthy of a glance. So it's a nice little race. I don't know that it's going to have major Kentucky Derby implications.
You got a pick in here? You got a value thought?
I think Highly Motivated is the one to beat. If I was going to try and beat one of the top two, I would go with Wipe the Slate, just because I think he showed talent in that maiden win, and I think he'll be of the horses there that he might offer a little bit of value. I think the other four horses in there that I didn't mention or would have run in an allowance race had they run.
Let's back up. Let's back up from the Gotham and the Heavenly Prize. Two principals and a couple of hopefuls.
Yeah, if Lake Avenue shows up to where she's like that last race, which was maybe her, from a number standpoint, it was her best. It was she didn't break very well, but came with a nice run and good starting point. She didn't have a great 3-year-old campaign, but the big disappointment, I guess, was her race in the Busher. And then she ran against Swiss Skydiver a couple of different times, and that you know, that wasn't for her. I don't really know what went wrong in that allowance race at Churchill, but she seemed to rectify it with that performance in at Gulfstream, and then came back with a bullet work at Payson Park, you know, last weekend. And then you have Thankful, who probably is better two turns, but she did run well enough in the A other than when she beat Mrs. Danvers to show that she's more than capable around one turn. You know, I think she's a bit interesting on the cutback a little bit. Other than that, I don't know where I'd be a little hard pressed to pick someone other than one of those two.
Fair enough. How about the Tom Fool, where Wendell Fong comes out of that win that got Tally Lynch's career rolling, still her only win, and a stake win at that. Now she'll try to make her second career win a graded stake win.
Yeah, so she did win another race. Halo City, who was in the race we were just talking about, she claimed that horse for $40,000 on January 28th and then wheeled her back 6 days later and won a starter.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I think going back to that race for a second, the Heavenly Prize, I don't think she's fast enough to win that race, but she certainly, you know, you can't fault her for trying. I mean, the race to me sets up really nicely for Wendell Fong. I mean, everywhere you look, there's speed. And I guess this is one of those races where I think you pay attention to how the track's playing today and then the first half of tomorrow and make sure that, you know, it's fair enough that closers have a chance, because to me, you know, most of the other ones are going to go. Now, talking to Rudy Rodriguez about Pete's play call, who would be my other pick in the race, aside from Wendell Fong, he'd like to see Vargas be able to sort of take the horse back a little bit and come with a run. And the horse did prove effective with that style the last time he ran three quarters, which was for John Toscano at November, I guess it was around Thanksgiving time, which is the race that Rudy took him out of. So I think there's two, you know, logical horses here that should get a really nice setup, provided, you know, the Happy Farms and Chateau stay in the race. Chateau, very fast last time, the second fastest, or third fastest three-quarter race of the meet. I'm a little against Share the Ride. I keep going back and forth with this horse. I actually like him in the General George, but I'm just wondering if maybe this is one of those, hey, we're squeezing lemon dry one too many times here. If he wins, although I do like the horse, I just don't think tomorrow's going to be his day.
The Busher and the three-year-old fillies, and it's a six-pack, but this is kind of an interesting group of six.
Probably the most wide-open race of you know, in terms of trying to, you know, zero in on contenders that should win. I mean, Miss Brazil, you know, what do you make of that race where she beat two other horses? You know, her maiden win was very good. Even Tony Dutrow said, look, the most impressive thing she's done was beat Billy Mott Philly, who was Caramel Swirl last November 29th, but Caramel Swirl, I believe, has lost since, you know, I think she got beat once, if not twice, at short prices after that. I'm going to give Leo Bannon a prayer, another shot here, to prove that maybe she's better than just New York Bred Company. I thought her two races against New York Breds in the stakes last year at Belmont and then Aqueduct were solid. He admitted, Trader Daniel Velasquez basically admitted that he missed some time and maybe didn't bring a razor sharp filly into the Franklin Square, yet she was still talented enough to run second in a kind of a weak field. But I think, you know, if she can run back to that Stallion Series race that she ran in December, that puts her right there. And, you know, she's listed at 5-1 on the morning line. If you can get that or anywhere close to that, I would jump on it. I think she's a little bit better than your typical, you know, New York bred.
Very nice. There's also earlier on the card, there's a nice, that's the stakes sequence, and those four races are then give way to a 16-2 as the anchor leg for the pick five. But there's a New York bred first level allowance going 7/8. That's actually a nice group. And there's your Saturday. There's a three-year-old filly maiden special, too, for New York breds that starts the card. Anything else we need to know, Dave?
No, it's, you know, look, it's March, and I think, you know, I think people will see over the next week and, you know, after this card that, you know, why we race 3 days a week in March. You know, even looking at Sunday's card, the fields are a little light. You got the Biagio's Rose on Sunday, which, if you have an opinion, just go on with it, because they're very unreliable fillies and mares in that spot. And if you like a horse for a particular reason, then don't be, don't back off because of a price or whatever. Just bet what you like in that race, because to me that's a pretty wide open race of unreliable fillies and mares.
Well, we'll certainly catch up with Dave. I'm wondering, actually, are you making the run down to Florida to help Mike with Florida Derby Week or no?
No, I will be. If I am helping him out, I would be helping him out
from home.
America, right. Or Ozone Park, wherever they want me to go.
Fair enough.
I've not got my marching orders for that weekend other than to, march in place.
Well, I hear you, because that's usually a, right? That's the typical MO, right?
Every year, this will be the second year in a row that I missed it. No Gulfstream for me for 2 years in a row. So hopefully by next March, we'll be a little bit more normalized in terms of travel and stuff.
There you go. Knock on wood. Well, we got plenty to keep us busy in New York in the meantime. DRF Grenning, everybody, rounding out our daily racing form coverage, America's Turf Authority since
1894.
There you go. Or until since Marty McGee was in short pants. That's the option. That's the optional answer.
Dave, thanks a lot.
Dave Grenning, everybody. We're staying right here. I told you it's the lightning round, and you heard me mention the contest, the free contest. Tomorrow at horseplayers.com, the free NHC, first of four, five seats tomorrow. Well, there's a big contest coming up, though, in April, and Jim Goodman, Keeneland Jim, joins us for a quick visit. Jim, first of all, how was the vacation?
Oh, it was great. I enjoyed just recharging my batteries a little bit. Make a side trip to Gulfstream while I was down there for the Fountain of Youth Day, and got to present the trophy to Bill Mott for the 13th race, and I it was a great time. I enjoyed going to a racetrack when I don't have to worry about all the stuff I worry about on a daily basis.
Well, and while you were away, your racetrack, Keeneland, made the arrangements and the specifics came out for the spring meet. And on a wider basis, people can visit the website and get all the details for attending the meet. But for our listeners particularly, Jim, they want to know if they can come for the Grade 1 gamble. Talk about the arrangements you're able to make for those players.
Okay. We were able to, with the consent of the governor's office, to allow some seating. We're going to, obviously, social distance and masks are required, all the things that we've been doing for the last year or so. But the governor's allowing us to operate at a reduced capacity, as is Churchill Downs. And we're going to have somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 people here on a daily basis. So I have grabbed some seats for my Grade 1 gamble people. My talking point is that it's limited seating. I want to get everybody. Registration actually opened this morning at 10 a.m., and I've already gotten three emails from people that said, I registered, I want to come and see you at Keeneland. We probably won't have enough space for everyone. I'm going to give preference to those who register early. I'm going to give some preference to those people who can't play online because they live in Texas or Canada or the other states that don't allow ADW wagering. But we also made some arrangements to do phone wagering from those places, as we did in last year's BCBC. So you can play the Grade 1 gamble at Keeneland. You can play it on ExpressBet. You can play it on TVG, 4NJ Bets, Naira Bets, or you can play it on the phone from your home as long as you're in an area that allows parimutuel wagering legally.
Excellent. What kind of numbers physically do you think you'll be able to accommodate?
I'm hoping to accommodate 100 players. Our normal attendance is around 190, 185 to 195. I'm hoping that I'll have at least 100 players that want to come to play online or play here, and I'll have another 150 or so that play online. So I think I can accommodate 100 people, plus a guest if they want to bring a guest. So that's what I'm hoping to do, and I hope I don't run out. I hope I take care of everybody who wants to come, because I know people are just anxious to get here. Our numbers in Kentucky are going down every day. A lot of people getting vaccinated. A lot of people still doing a good job around Lexington, especially with wearing the mask and doing all the things that, that they ask us to do. And so we're in a lot better shape than we were back in the fall. And we had 3,000 people here for Breeders' Cup. It went very well, and we think we can handle somewhere in north of that neighborhood for live meat. So my contest is April 10th. It's Saturday. It's been Sunday in the past, but I don't have dining space in normal times, and I grabbed this dining space this time. And so we're doing it on Saturday. That's the Jenny Wiley, the Coomore Jenny Wiley, and the Stone Street Lexington Stakes. So it's going to be a nice card, 11 races, and it's going to be a really great card to wager on. April 10th is our second weekend. Weather's going to be beautiful here in Kentucky. We've all hopefully gotten through the bad weather. So second weekend in April is usually just absolutely gorgeous in Lexington.
There'll be ways to qualify too, right? You got plenty of play-in options.
We've actually already started. We started three weekends ago on horse tourneys. So I've already gotten maybe eight people already qualified, and they're going to do feeders every weekend. That's the only place that you can try to win in, and that's the easiest way to get into $3,000 buy-in. Otherwise, with $2,000 going to live bankroll. I do want to tell everybody that I've done away with, at least temporarily, the rule that you had to bet half your bankroll in one of the last two races, simply because it's almost impossible to audit that very quickly when I've got people playing from five different spots. It's really easy when I've got everybody here. But I did away with that. It's just very simply, you got to play five races, $400 a race, to make your $2,000 bankroll, and you can do whatever you want to in the last couple races.
How do they reach you?
How do they reach me? Jay Goodman at Keeneland.com. My phone number is 859-288-4261. All the information about the Grade 1 Gamble is on our Keeneland website. Just go to Keeneland website, Keeneland.com. Go to racing/wagering and go to Grade 1 Gamble. It tells you all about how to register. You can register. I encourage everybody to register early so I can get you seated here. All you got to do is pay $100 down, and you can pay the rest of it when you get here, or you can pay the full $3,000, and we take all major credit cards, and I'll even take cash when they walk in.
You've absolutely qualified over the years of the reliability of not running off with it either. So that
I haven't yet. I'm trying to get to that number that justifies me running off with it. I haven't gotten to that number yet, Steve.
Well, this is one. You know, it's one of the top on sites, I think everybody. You know, I had Brandon Lee on the other day for Lone Star, and I'm also, you know, it occurs to me before I forget, mentioning on site qualification and contests. Hawthorne opens tomorrow, and best wishes to everybody there. And so that makes me think of Jim Miller and everybody involved at Hawthorne, who also is a favorite venue for on-site qualification. It really feels, Jim, like players are just really anxious to, you know, to get back to, you know, the bricks and mortar.
Yeah, and we want them to be here. The whole idea behind starting contests to me was, get those people here at the track. Get them accustomed to coming to the racetrack. I want to get my guys in on Friday and have them stay on Sunday and play on Friday and Sunday and take care of them those days too. And it helps our handle a tremendous amount. It gets people a reason to come to the racetrack. It's just a lot of pluses. I play online because I have to play online, but I'd much rather be at a racetrack. One thing I want to say about Brandon too, I looked at their menu down there, and if I can get to Lone Star on Memorial Day weekend, I'm going to go, because I think it's an absolutely wonderful opportunity for horse players. Now, you got to play mine too. Mine's a great opportunity. Ours is a little different. We have to charge an entry fee, but we take that entry fee and put it all toward prizes. So our cash prizes are better than Lone Star's. First place is going to be $40,000 if I get 200 players, plus a BC plus NHC. But if you're especially interested in NHC, Lone Star is a great opportunity with all those seats available.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. Well, I'm putting out the link right now on Twitter, and I'm just looking at the calendar again. It's the 17th.
No, it's the 10th, April 10th.
The 10th, excuse me. I'm looking at the, there we go. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We actually open up on April 2nd, so the bluegrass is April 3rd this year.
Oh, because everything's early. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
It's funny. They make us put our schedule out because of Derby Day for some reason. You know, that always determines when we run. So Derby's on May 1st, so we're going to open early. So.
Yeah, it's a weird. It's funny. Everything's determined by
it is.
You know, by the way that lays out. Well, I really appreciate the opportunity, and for those that aren't necessarily going to have a contest in mind, all the details about potentially going to Keeneland this spring on the website. And Jim, we'll give him another push again as we get closer in a couple of weeks.
Sure, be glad to. And I really want people to come see us. I miss you guys. It's a whole lot easier with a full house than it is trying to say no to a lot of people. So all you players who have enjoyed Keeneland in the past, get online and try to get some tickets, because it's certainly worth the trip down here. If you haven't come, strike it off your bucket list, because it's one of the best racetracks in the country, and I'm not prejudiced at all.
Jim Goodman, who the players just absolutely adore. I know my man North Carolina Tony's going to do. Tony Montanito will do everything he can to be there, right?
I think he's already registered this morning. I believe he has.
Yep. He's got nothing else to do. He's like Zach
right.
Mayo and an officer and a gentleman. He's waiting. He was more worried about that than his COVID vaccine.
Tony's a great guy. He's one of our biggest supporters.
Yeah, you big time, and ours too. Been with us, DT, from the start. He'll get a kick out of this. Jim, it's so great to talk, and look forward to seeing you. We'll get you on again before, as things get closer and as you approach deadline, and make sure everybody's signed on.
Okay, thanks for the support, Steve. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Jim Goodman, everybody. Keeneland Jim, if you're not, I mean, most of the players, all the players are following Keeneland Jim. We'll stay with it as we rifle through a bunch of visits. Got to get to Rich Eng yet, and I want to get Bogey, who's on his way to Tampa, get a couple of opinions from him. But right now, Papo Morales joins us. Papo, fresh off of yesterday's Twitch instruction presentation for Form to Win, form2win.com. And Papo, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you doing this morning?
Excellent. And sure feels like a number of players are starting to get the hang of Form to Win and how they can use it to their advantage.
Yeah, like we talked about, it just takes a little bit to get used to, but once you figure it out and you know what you're looking for, you can look at a race in 2 minutes and have some sort of an educated opinion. And it oftentimes it'll put you on a horse that you weren't necessarily expecting to land on. And there's been a couple of those that I was looking at this morning. So now I've had to go back and reevaluate some of my thoughts, but there's definitely some prices to be had tomorrow.
First, we should go back to the other day, and one of the horses that I was interested in at Parks ended up scratching. But I was tuned in, and I ended up picking something off that was pretty attractive. You might not have. I don't know if you were listening, but when I had the conversation on Wednesday with Chris Griffin. And, on the fly, I really had not had a chance to look at the Sam Houston card. And so as he and I were, kind of going through and I was looking at the PPs as he talked, I pulled up, Form to Win, and, that horse Midyear, absolutely on. And it's funny because that was a maiden race, and yet that performance, the one start was enough to kind of make that horse pretty glaring against some of the others in there that hadn't run. And that's why I suggested the Calhoun winner, $12 and change.
Yeah, and that's the power of the app, Steve. It's just the ability to make those decisions really quickly.
Well, let's touch on a few. What did you look at?
Well, I was looking at the cross country pick five, and I also looked out at seeing the need for that Kill Row Mile. But
yes,
talk about the Tampa ninth tomorrow, which I know you mentioned earlier. It seems like a grab bag of quality horses, and you could go many different directions. But there was two horses that I had a mark on one of them, not so much on the other, but on form to win, they absolutely did. And that's the top one is La Signore for Brendan Walsh,
mm-hmm.
Who fits on form to win. Whether you're using a filter or not, she's ranked one or two. And then the other horse that I found a bit interesting was Court Return for Josie Carroll, who, you know, ran last time at Gulfstream Park off Lasix, and now she's coming back on Lasix. Didn't perform going a mile and a half. But, you know, she got good at the end of last year, and she fits on form to win. So I'm going to have to find a way to definitely include her in the multis. And, you know, the weather, who knows what the weather is going to do. I've seen some reports of it half an inch tomorrow and other reports of a quarter of an inch. So you're just going to kind of have to wing it. But the great thing about form to win is, you know, if the turf is rated good or yielding with the click of a button, you can see all the horses, how they performed on those conditions.
Well, and we should mention that too. I mean, when you hit the analyze, and you know, there's the six categories that you can adjust. I have not actually played around with that, but I know it's there.
Yeah. You can change the track condition for dirt to muddy to sloppy to good, and you know, turf from good to soft to yielding, all with the click of a button. And then you'll only be looking at the data on how the horses ran on that particular type of surface. So it's a powerful tool.
I'm curious, what was your setting that moved? I'm very curious. I actually, on my initial, I do see the Court Return was third on just, you know, the raw data form to win. And because La Signore, I absolutely noted, was at the top of the chart. And at 8-1, you know, that certainly appealed. But Counterparty Risk as well. And Court Return, I had not noticed. But I do see here that got to be respected. So I see where you came up with it. What was your settings, though, that had her as high as, you know, first or second choice?
I looked at races at distances between 8.5 furlongs and 9, so a mile and a 16th to a mile and an eighth. You have to toss her average equibase speed figure out, because she threw a bomb back earlier in her career. I don't know what happened to her. She ran like an 18 on Briz. So that has obviously thrown a curve into her averages.
Interesting.
But if you take that out, she fits. And just looking at the past performances, I mean, she had a good work two back, 59 flat, actually. So I respect Josie Carroll. So, you know, we'll see if she's good enough. I mean, both of these horses like to come from a little bit out of it, and there is a lack of pace in this race, which I know you said you like the 10 a bit for Proctor. I think the 10, you know, they let her out there and get loose, and if the turf has give to it, you know, it's hard for those horses to make that big run. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So I think the 10's absolutely dangerous.
All right. The last thing I needed in this Hillsboro was another horse to consider, because I already thought it was a deep and treacherous group, and that was without, you know, I've had a couple of people today already that are cottoning up to Miss Tehran. So this is not easy. All right. What else did you look at Tampa?
Tampa Race 10, the Grade 3 Florida Oaks. Looks like there is plenty of pace signed on in here. One horse is a bomb, and I don't know if she's good enough to win. I had a question mark on her, putting her in third, just looking at her past performances. But the number 5 horse, Queen of the Green, maybe for underneath in the verticals, she fits on form to win. She's second rated on the average form to win time. So maybe underneath. And then, of course, you have Mia Martina, who I think a couple of your guests spoke about today. She fits also. And I have a little thing for Oyster Box. I kind of like her. So nothing too clever in there, but, you know, Queen of the Green underneath may spice things up.
It's funny. Queen of the Green was a horse that I saw too, and then I went and checked the Thoroughgraph, and there's some hints there actually as a exotic booster at the very least. And listen, those horses are useful without a doubt. What you got a Tampa Derby opinion?
On Storm to Win, the 11 horse, Promise Keepers. I mean, it's only one start, and I know it was in the slop, but he's ranked the highest. And if we get an off, an off horse, then he'll fit. I mean, nothing too clever. Candyman Rocket. I know a couple of the guests talked about Hidden Stash, but horse needs to switch leads, as Steve mentioned yesterday. So we'll see. We'll try to squeak by with just I'm going to use all three. I'll use Candyman Rocket, Hidden Stash, and also Promise Keeper.
What? And I'm curious, what settings got Promise Keeper that elevated?
That was, let me check here, looked at distances between 8 and a mile and a mile and a 16th. Now, if you're not using a filter at all, Steve, what's interesting is the horse from Puerto Rico, the number 2 horse, with no filter, with just one start, but it's slightly faster than any other rest of them. So, once again, if it's an off track, they have to include him. Hopefully we know sooner in the day rather than later what the weather is going to be like, so we have time to make these adjustments for the multis.
And I put up the video for people to I know you retweeted it, I think, that video of him at Camarero. He looked okay.
Yeah, he did. I mean, without having any real form on it, I don't know if it was a pace collapse. I mean, the early fractions looked like they were legitimate. So I don't know if they came home fast. I mean, I know they were going fast early, so I don't know if it was he was just picking up the pieces or, visually he looks good, but I just don't know how that's going to translate tomorrow. But we'll find out.
Papo Core 1, Papo Morales with us. Formtowin.com. Download it. And, in fact, I talked to Alex the other evening in Australia, and the free races are inches away from being included. So you'll be able to play around and look at races for free on race days. And, of course, you've got 2 days' worth of past performances, essentially, to go back and see. And especially when you see prices and horses that you didn't figure, go back and for those 2 days, look at, what the horse looked like on Form to Win, and it'll help you, give you some of those clues. Anything else?
The only thing I could come up clever with was Race 8 at Aqueduct, the Heavenly Prize Stakes. It looks like on Form to Win that the 3 horse fits, Landing Zone, who's shipping in for Claudio Gonzalez. I mean,
yes.
The numbers look legitimate, and maybe she'll get lost on the board some with two overwhelming favorites. I don't know if she's going to be worth a C in the multis. But, we know one of these races is something crazy is going to happen. So maybe worth throwing her in there, but she fits on Form to Win. I mean, it's a quick turnaround. She just ran February 20th. So it's an interesting move by Gonzalez.
Well, and Gonzalez scares me. You've got the 10 strike horse we talked about as well with Nick, Portal Creek. But Claudio Gonzalez, much like Juan Carlos Guerrero, comes up to New York and kind of knows what he's doing, and Landing Zone. I put a question mark by her myself, so it's interesting that I haven't done Aqueduct yet with Form to Win. I'll do it tonight and in the morning. All right, well, Papo, I appreciate it. And when are we going to do another Twitch?
I'm trying to do them on Thursday, Steve. It looks Thursdays at 4, and then it's streamed on Twitch, but it's also posted on YouTube on the Amwager channel, so you can catch it there also.
Excellent.
Whenever you want. So, yeah, have a great weekend, Steve, and wish you a profitable weekend.
You too. Papo Core One, everybody. Papo Morales from AmWager, formtowin.com. We're learning together, and we'll put up the link to the YouTube page as well, so you can watch what Papo did yesterday, and we'll talk to him early next week. A couple of visits a week to walk you through Form to Win. Let's stay right here, and Rich Eng is standing by with a big card on hand for us tomorrow at Santa Anita. Rich Eng for Pro Pick. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Friday instead of Thursday. I don't mind.
I thought it made sense because there would be a better, you know, you'd be that much closer to, you know, having looked at these cards and having had the chance to, you know, to really look ahead. And I'm not looking for you to give out all your opinions because, you know, it's available at racedaylasvegas.com. But I thought, you know, some overview and maybe the San Felipe and, you know, what your leans are so far on the 3-year-old front for the West Coast, you know, just some general big cap day conversation.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, we've learned over the course of time in the last few decades that when you're talking the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown races, Bob Baffert is always front and center, and he's got two in the San Felipe. That's race six tomorrow at Santa Anita. He's got the heavy favorite at 4-5, the number one, Life Is Good, who's 2-2, Mike Smith up. But a horse that real interesting to me is the number three, Medina Spirit. He flies out John Velasquez to ride, and the relationship with Velasquez and Baffert has been a very, very successful one. They haven't paired up in an awful lot of races, but when JR rides for Baffert, good things seem to happen. And this horse kind of reminds me to some degree like a real quiet type, only costs about $35,000 at sale, and certainly has outrun that price tag considering the expensive pedigrees and horses that that Baffert gets. But this horse showed incredible spirit in the Lewis to fight off Roman Centurion and Hot Rod Charlie. So he's a horse I like very much, the three, Medina Spirit. And I will tell your listeners that the number seven, Roman Centurion, is the only horse I have going right now in my Kentucky Derby futures. After this horse broke his maiden, Steve, on January 3rd, I ran out to the local book and bought him at 100-1. So this is my sole survivor right now as far as live Kentucky Derby futures, Roman Centurion at 100-1.
Well, then, all right. I love when anybody's got a rooting interest on that front, and so we'll track along with you. In fact, Gus is going to join us in a minute, and we'll get some of his thoughts on the the only Oaks pool and the second to last Derby pool. What else are we looking at, Rich, for tomorrow? You got any either a big cap thought or that Kilrow?
Well, I did look over the Kilrow real quick, and it's really an excellent grade one, and a lot of it has to do with the horses shipping in from the east. You've got a Todd Putcher horse, Social Paranoia, and you've also got the horse coming in from with Chad Brown. Flavius. So, Flavius, Brown has had tremendous success shipping out for a turf festival. They used to come out to, you know, Hollywood Park and things like that and win an awful lot of great stakes races. So I think having the East Coast horses come in, I know Smooth the Straight's probably the better or the best one on the West Coast right now. So it's a nice confluence of talent, but very, very interesting race, a very hard race. So, you know, like a lot of turf races, Steve, that go around two turns, the trip's going to mean an awful lot to know who gets to the winner's circle first.
You know, I know the tendency is to focus on Flavius because he's the lower price of the two, but he also has got Spirit Animal showing up here, and Joel Rosario ends up aboard Spirit Animal, who had, you know, a little bit of traffic to deal with last time. And this is a horse that, just because of the depth of this field, is absolutely going to be double digits. It's impossible for him not to be. And the fact that he makes the trip and that Ron Anderson manages to maneuver himself and Chad reaches for Rosario with, you know, with horses that, you know, can benefit from his expertise and his ability to come with a run. And I really am perplexed. It's going to be tough when I'm building the tickets tomorrow to not at least have Spirit Animal covered in some shape or form.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned him because I did use him the last time that he came out in the Seabiscuit. And I remember the stretch run was just a a real cavalry charge, real difficult journey for a lot of horses. And this was one of them. There just wasn't much room to make your run. And Chad Brown did think enough of the horse to bring out Manny Franco to ride. And now to have Joel Rosario, I mean, Ron Anderson's about as sharp as they get. So he saw something, too. He wanted to get on this animal. So I would agree with you. If you're going to build a horizontal ticket, you got to throw the five Spirit Animal on also. 12-1 in the morning line probably will hold that price, I would think.
Yeah, and you know, in a sequence where, you know, unless there's, well, there is some room for, you know, for some prices. A reminder again, too, they are forcing out the Rainbow tomorrow. Santa Anita. Now I see where Gulfstream is forcing it out on Sunday as well. So a couple of back-to-back jackpot force-outs at Santa Anita and Gulfstream to consider. Rich Eng's available. His full set of opinions available. RaceDayLasVegas.com and bop on Rich's noggin and get his opinions for Southern California. Certainly a good day for it, big cap day. Rich, I appreciate it. We'll do some recapping next week.
Sounds good, Steve, and I'm going to have to run to the bank to get a lot more dimes for these 20 cents on Saturday and Sunday.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly right. Rich Eng, everybody. Rich Eng for Pro Pick, the author of Betting on Horse Racing for Dummies. And that brings us to about a six-minute mark. Perfect to get Gus in here, who we haven't talked to nearly enough of late. And Gus Alonso joins us. He's looking forward to a nice afternoon at Tampa. We were together at Tampa 2 years ago, and you had the family on hand. Good morning, Gus.
Yes, looking forward to it. A shame you won't be there this year. I'm actually going solo this year myself, so I'm meeting some friends up there, John Costin. So looking forward to it. Should be a nice day of racing, even though the weather doesn't look like it's gonna be too good.
Well, we'll sweat that out. And as Popo mentioned earlier, ranges from minuscule to half an inch. So we'll see. The knock on wood. Yep. We'll maybe dodge it a little bit. It feels like there'll be some rain, but I'm sure they'll do everything they can to keep the turf races on, certainly. Three stakes on the grass. And, Gus, what are you doing Tampa? You're doing Tampa tomorrow for Brisnet?
Yes, I did the Tampa card, and I did put in there some off-track numbers as well, just in case. But I'm like you, I'm hopeful that they can stay on the grass, especially the three stake races, because they're really nice stake races.
Well, Gus, of course, is most typically doing the Gulfstream action and doing Gulf. You're doing the Gulfstream little videos too, right?
Yes, yeah, for Twin Spires, expert picks. We're doing them, all the way through the championship meet. So we're still rolling with that.
Nice. Nick is doing New York stuff as well for Twin Spires, and Pete does some. And I mean, they're it's a little for those when you're on Twin Spires, it's a nice little added tidbit when especially you come to a race that you may not have your own great opinion, but nice to get a little feedback and a little push from people and whose opinion you appreciate. Gus, rather than I don't want to take away from opinions that people are paying for. So I would like to get maybe a future wager thought or two from you while we're together.
Yeah, on the boys, I'm a little bit suspect because it seems like the major players are kind of low at this time. Unless somebody really pops up tomorrow. I'm more interested in the fillies. We have the filly pool tomorrow. And what I'm going to take a shot is I like Crazy Beautiful. I really think that last race, the Devonna Dale, she didn't want to load that afternoon. I think this is the type where McPeak has a plan with her. I think the next time we might see her in the Ashland or something like that, I think she can progress, and I think she's one that you could get a good number this weekend at. I'm really looking at her, and I would love to see pass to Champaign. I don't think she'll be on the list, but she was a nice winner last week at Gulfstream Park, and I think she's the one. She can progress as well. It's another one I'm keeping my eye on. With the fillies, with the boys, like I mentioned, essential quality to me. It seems like he's cut above at this point.
Well, then really, there's not unless you maybe play around with the double.
Yep.
Hard to right. I mean, hard to go
I wouldn't
at
be,
it.
I wouldn't mind being alive to Rich Eng's runner, Royal Centurion. Horse is bred to run long, and seems like the longer they go, the better he's going to do. And he's a very interesting horse. I mean, you get 100-1 on him, you're kind of sitting on dynamite.
We love that, and I'm glad he told us. It's fun to track him. Well, let me get how about some out of town 3-year-old thoughts? Anything from New York or California?
Well, highly motivated at New York. I think he's the main prospect out of there that could move on to the Kentucky Derby. I'm expecting a big performance from him. And out in Santa Anita, Royal Centurion grabs my attention, and so does Dream Shake. I think he can get a good trip there on the inside, just sitting right behind the speed and then making a late move. He's another one that's kind of interesting moving forward, lightly raced. And I mean, I can't remember the last time the San Felipe has been this stacked. It's usually a Baffert, at 2-5 or something like that. This year, there's many options, and this race could be a key race down the road for sure.
Well, I'm going to circle back to Tampa and at least get one opinion from you at Tampa Bay. What are we doing in
sure.
the Derby?
It seems like everybody's on them, though. I'm going to the outside with number 11, Promise Keeper. I mean, it's Pletcher. I don't know how many times he's won the Tampa Bay Derby, 5 or so, and I think this horse is coming into the race the right way. I'm not scared of the outside post too much. He does have some natural speed. You got Luis Saez, tough to get any better than that. I think he's the one. I'm not sure we'll get to 8-1, but I think 5-1 would be a fair price on him. Anything lower, I might look elsewhere, but I think we might get 5-1 with a 12-horse field like that. I think I like him a lot. A horse that was mentioned before on your show, I'm sure, I'm interested to watch myself, was back in the Hillsboro, the Miss Taran. I mean, that move that she made in her win at Gulfstream Park, that was just electric. I mean, she's as tall baby as a tall greyhound. I mean, she's very small, but when she kicks it into gear, I mean, she laid her ears down. She reminded me of a Ouija board kind of move or Goldakova. That was just something else. Interesting to see how she can handle the Tampa turf tomorrow.
Excellent. It is funny that people have kind of gravitated. There were certain horses this morning that everybody seemed to gravitate toward.
I'll tell you what. I mean, at the top of the stretch, you would say no way last time. I really suggest everyone go watch that replay of her Gulfstream race last time out. Her late move was like breathtaking.
Well, make sure you're following. If you're not following Gus, and for those of you who are slightly newer listeners over the last couple of years, Gus, of course, the longtime house handicapper of At the Races, the original and the best, and now available at Brisnet on Saturdays and other big days. Gus, have fun tomorrow. I'm sorry I'm not going to be there, and we'll start checking in with you a little more often as we get closer to Derby.
Perfect, Steve. Great being on again. Have a great weekend. And let's get some winners home.
Absolutely. And Gus will help you on that front. Bogey, 1967. B-O-G-E-Y, 1967. Gus Alonzo, everybody. And Gus was with us in Vegas. And got to look forward to the August version of Vegas. Is friend John that he mentioned, John Costin, who's a accomplished contest player, and I'm sure John is qualified for August, and you can be qualified as soon as today, because horse tourneys and horse players have got opportunities today on Friday, but tomorrow again free, the NTRA free, first of four, five seat free tourneys. And I'll send out all the details later when the races are laid out, okay? And make sure you join the tour. Get the $50 in on the tour so that you're set for the year, for the January 2022. But five seats tomorrow on races that we've been talking about, guaranteed that there'll be a lot of overlap. Thanks to Marty McGee, Nick Tamaro, Jay Privman, Hammer, Scully DeRosa, Bogey, Dave Grenick, Papa Morales, Jim Goodman, Keeneland Jim, and Rich Ang, Casey on the board today. Have a great weekend, everybody. Back with you Monday for the big recapping of this fabulous weekend of racing. Stay safe. Talk to you Monday.
At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.